Hello, you're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I am Lissa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My passion is guiding others to find and live theirs, regardless of age or circumstance. I am so excited to have my guest on the show today. He is my nephew, and he lives in Minnesota. And due to some family circumstances in the past several years, we have had a chance to reconnect, despite our physical distances, in some ways that feel really good to me. And recently, Nathan was laid off from a lucrative director of talent acquisition position and landed in that what am I going to do now situation that we all go through when we find ourselves in that circumstance. And when I talked to Nathan, I heard these words: I'm allowing myself some time to figure it out. And that was absolute music to my ears, as it always is. Pursuing a career as a performance trainer specializing in golf is a pretty clear aspiration of Nathan's radar screen. Exciting and scary all at the same time, and as these circumstances usually are. We're going to go to break, and when we return, Nathan will join us and share what that journey might look like and feel like to him along the way. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have had the courage and take the risk to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host. I'm Lissa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Nathan Campbell. He's my nephew, and he lives in Minnesota. And on a recent call with Nathan, he let me know that he was in a mid-career change brought on due to layoffs. So, of course, I had to know more. And what I discovered was super exciting to me. But I'm going to let Nathan share all that information with you. So, welcome, Nathan. So nice of you to be here with us today.
Yeah, hi, Lisa. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Good timing. Especially being the day after your birthday, we can celebrate moving on.
Even more exciting. 41 years old.
Exactly. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So let's kind of backtrack a little bit and talk about where your career is coming from right now. What was your last position? What drew you to that? How did you find yourself there?
Yeah, so I've been in talent acquisition for about 15 years. As of most recently, I worked my way up into a director of talent acquisition position. I never really set out to do that line of work, but I got a taste of things kind of right after college, and I just kind of had a knack for talent acquisition. It's kind of in a sense sales, but in a different way. And so, anyways, 15 years later, I've not only faced a layoff, but decided to finally address some questions in terms of, you know, why am I doing this? Do I really actually enjoy doing it? And if what do I want to do moving forward?
So, and I'm always so curious about the first couple of jobs, careers that people land in. I'm always really curious how, when you are at a young age, there's always those questions about what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And people will ask you that when you're in high school, when you're in college, and you don't always know the answer because you haven't done it yet. And so I'm always really curious, so you ended up in talent acquisition, which is somewhat specialized. Where did you start? What led you to talent acquisition?
Yeah, so I never really sought out to do it. I didn't know what the life of a recruiter really was, mm-hmm. or I didn't really know what talent acquisition was. But I had some acquaintances that were in the IT consulting space, and that's where I kind of got my first taste of it. And then a company by the name of Select Computing found me on, I think, Monster, of all places, monster.com. And they invited me in for an interview. And I had worked for that company for 6+ years and became very close with the owner. So, again, I never really set out to do it. I just kind of fell into it.
Right. And so when you were going through the interview process, how did that go?
It went really well. I mean, they were essentially looking for soft skills, people skills, a great communicator, somebody that is, you know, driven, humble, hungry, that type of kind of candidate profile. So the interview went really well.
Nice. And you didn't have any like red flags that I'm not really so sure if this is the direction I want to go. It felt pretty much like green lights all the way.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, at that point, I was young. I didn't even know what red flags were. I didn't even know what I was or wasn't looking for.
Exactly. And that's absolutely okay. Like I said, it's so hard to try to pick a career path when you have such limited experience under your belt. I mean, you know, we go to school and we learn about things, but learning them and doing them are so different in all the different applications that you can possibly ask to do them in is something that you just have to take the walk and take the steps in that direction to find out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that being said, what did you love about working in talent acquisition?
Yeah, so the main things, which if I'm being honest, aren't that many, but the main things are I got to meet so many people, whether that was through phone conversations, whether that was through face-to-face interviews, but I've met so many walks of life that I likely would have never met if I wasn't in a position like that. So talking to people was my job.
Nice. Yeah. And so when you say walks of life, what does that mean?
Just all ages, all demographics, all different sorts of, as I would refer to as labor categories. So people that are just in all different sorts of lanes, whether that's, you know, IT or finance or whatever it might be.
Awesome. And then, so what, working in the role that you did, what did you get to do with all these people that you got to meet?
Yeah, so that, I mean, it was really connecting the dots. So it was having an open position, a need of either the company that I was working for, or let's say we were contracting with, whether it was a government entity or it was another company, and maybe it was an opening of theirs, but they used the company like the company I worked for to staff their projects and their position. So what I was doing is connecting those dots. I was understanding what is the hiring need, and then finding the right types of people to fill those positions and making sure that we're, you know, assessing and evaluating and making sure that it's the right fit on all sorts of different levels, not just, let's say, qualifications and experience.
Right. Well, that must have been, well, from my perspective, that would be fascinating to be able to kind of take the round peg and find the round hole for that person.
Yeah. That was one of the aspects that I did enjoy. I mean, there was nothing more satisfying than getting to extend an offer to somebody, and you're really, whether it's short term or long term, you're changing their life.
So, yes.
Yeah.
And so I would imagine you would take that pretty seriously, being, you know, in that position to say, like, wow, I can totally look at this person, what they want to bring to the table, and try to find a spot for them, as opposed to when people just send in resumes, kind of, you know, blanketing a million different opportunities without really like fine tuning how they could fit themselves into a position. So you kind of got to be on the other side of the table and do that.
Absolutely. Now, of course, there was the flip side of that coin as well, where you have to have difficult conversations and be transparent and honest with folks that, and give them reasons why they're not a fit. So yes, extending an offer is great, but again, there's the other side of that coin that can be difficult as well.
So did you find that that was really a challenge, or did you find that most of the clients that you worked with could see it from your perspective and why down the road that may not be a satisfying opportunity for them?
I actually, at first, early on in my career, I found it very difficult. I always thought I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings, or, you know, I'm going to break their confidence or whatever it might be. However, I changed my way of thinking and realized this is an opportunity just because they didn't get a job for them to learn, grow, whatever it might be. So what I changed it into is give them that honesty and transparency, and then it's up to them how they can use that.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's kind of like that boss that has to fire somebody because they're not performing. And they feel so bad about having to do it. But I always, whenever I have a boss that's in that position as a client, I say, if it doesn't feel good to you, it's almost 100% certain it doesn't feel good to them. And you are giving them freedom to go find out something that is a better fit and that does feel good to them.
Absolutely.
Is that the kind of thinking you finally got to with that?
100%. Yep.
Yeah. Because it's really, again, when you see a position on paper and, you know, what the skills and talents are required of that position, we kind of tweak ourselves going, yeah, I can do that. But without really knowing how much is going to be involved and entailed in that. So that's why the beauty of you being on the other side of it and knowing it a little bit better, you can probably save people a lot of stress and frustration.
Yeah. And I love that you said, say, a job description or whatever it is on paper isn't always what it seems, because that's the exact same thing for resumes too. It doesn't tell the full story of who somebody is.
No, because everybody tries to make themselves into exactly what the position requires, but that's not necessarily true. I mean, it's a lot of, I think we talked about this earlier, it's putting on a mask going, yep, I'm your guy. Yep, I'm your guy. When behind that mask you're going, I'm not really sure that I'm that person, but I want the job, or I think I can do the job, or it pays a lot of money. And so therefore, you tend to put on a mask and go, yep, I can do this. And sooner or later, the job dissatisfaction sets in, and it almost always goes back to the resume and the interview when people know that maybe this isn't exactly what I want to do.
Yeah.
But absolutely. The competition of getting the job becomes the higher value.
Yeah. I mean, not to get ahead of ourselves in this conversation, but I think one of the most valuable things anybody can do is just kind of take a step back when they're interviewing and stop trying so hard to make sure that you're the right person for the job, and make sure that employer and that job is actually right for you.
Oh,
and so kind of shifting that way of your thinking, like you said, that mask, you don't have to convince everybody so hard that you're right if you don't know for sure that that employer or that position is right for you.
And how many people that you've worked with do you think understand that?
It's a loaded question, Lisa, because it's really difficult, especially when, you know, it's a competitive market and there's just all sorts of outside factors that play into it. But I would say, you know, it's hard to put a number on it, but I would say most people do not focus on, is this the right job for me? It's how do I make myself the right person for this job?
Absolutely true. And it again, I think it boils down to, I want to be the person in control. So I want to get the job offer, and then I'm the one I can take it or I could leave it. And then you put yourself in a whole different situation that becomes stressful there as well. But anyways, it is already time for us to go to break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream. I'm your host for the show. I am Lisa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Nathan Campbell. He's my nephew, and he is in a midstream career change, and we're talking about where he's been, and next I would love to talk to him about where he's thinking about going, and we'll just pick it up right there, Nathan.
Sounds good.
Okay, so speaking of people that you have worked with your former job, and being aware of the fact that they need to be the right person for the position, and the position needs to be the right person for them. It's a beautiful dance when that happens, and that's when real job satisfaction and feelings of success and meaning really come to play. And it's so much less about how much money you make and what your job title is, and that is what I hope the trend will become even more so in the future. So that being said, going from your position as a director of talent acquisition and moving forward, what are some of the skills that you would like to move forward with? What are some of the talents that you definitely want to take in your bag and move forward?
Yeah, good question. I mean, some of the stuff that I know I want to carry with me are kind of what I had brought up earlier in the conversation in terms of helping people. Now, what I'm envisioning is in a much different way, but that is something at the core of whatever I'm doing. I hope that is kind of centered in whatever I am doing in terms of bettering somebody's life in one way or another.
Yes.
So that is kind of my number one.
And I think, and I know you and I talked about this, but I think the number one thing, if anybody considers what they really want to do, is what can you do to enhance the life of others? And I don't care if you are selling sanitizing products. If at the end of the day you're concerned about people's health and safety and where they're working or the germs that they might get, or that's what your passion and excitement is, then great. You know, it's like whatever you can do to help somebody live a better life or make it better in some way. So I love that helping people is important to you, and that's one of your biggest values that you want to bring forward. So is there something else that you want to bring with you?
I suppose just the connectivity of working directly with people. You know, I've worked in a remote setting for a long time, and you know, that is, sure, we live in a virtual world quite a bit, but you know, there's something to be said for working directly with people, and I miss that in jobs that I used to be in. So I'm really looking forward, again, wherever my path is leading, I'm looking forward to getting back to working directly with people and not staring at a screen all day.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And is there anything else that you can think of? Anything else that you definitely want to take with you?
I mean, I don't know if this is necessarily take with me, but what I want to do is really channel what drives me every day and what I'm actually passionate about. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for me to say, you know, what is it that I want to take with me from what I've been doing, because although I'm grateful to have had good jobs, there's not a lot from it that that I can really draw on.
Right. But you've got a good foundation of working with people and connecting with people. And so that you do know, based on your experience, your walk in life, you know, you're clear that is something that you definitely want to do.
Absolutely.
And yep. So I know we talked about you having an aspiration to pursue a career working with people, like as a performance trainer and specializing in golf. Has that changed, or is that still there?
No, that is definitely still there. Now,
awesome.
I'm fairly open in that direction in terms of, you know, I'm I'm very interested in fitness training, personal training, performance mm-hmm. training, and then especially, you know, kind of mixing into that, specializing in golf performance, whether that's through being a swing coach or say, you know, golf fitness performance training, but something along those lines. Yeah.
Okay. So where did that dream come from? How did you know that was something you wanted to do?
You just said the exact word I would use, and it is a dream. Well, it's always been a dream. It's just always been, though, but that is only a dream. That's not realistic. Yeah. That's only a dream. It would be cool, but you can't do that, to where now I'm actually thinking, well, why can't I do that?
Oh, I couldn't have put it better myself. Why not? Why not take a stab at it?
Yeah.
And you allowed yourself that opportunity. And so was that part of the inkling in giving yourself time to figure out what you were going to do next? Was that part of it? It was like, okay, I've always kind of known that this was a passion. Maybe I should explore going down that avenue.
100%. And to bring in a little bit of a personal touch, your son, my cousin Kenny, is really what got me thinking about this because of his career path and what he's done.
Yep. Yep. And it wasn't all a smooth path along the way, but you know, he had a similar passion as you, and it was something that he couldn't put it on a shelf and make it go away. And so he just kept following it. And how long do you think it's been that you've had kind of this awareness of moving in the fitness, you know, realm and training realm?
Well, I would say for far too long. I mean, it's been upwards of, I'm just guessing, 10-ish years to, you know, I would say anywhere around, yeah, 5-10 years ago, I really started thinking, is this really what I want to be doing? And knowing that fitness, especially the golf side of it, is what I'm, you know, there's nothing I love more in my personal life than investing time and otherwise into fitness and golf.
Yeah. And what kind of messages have you gotten from society, maybe in general, or people that you've talked to about, if you have spoken to people along those lines, what kind of feedback do you get?
That is an interesting question, because it's a mixed bag,
yep.
which is good and bad. But I get the, well, that's a great thought, but that's not practical to pursue a career path in that. But then I also get the other side of it. It's like, that's really what you want to do. Go for it. And no better time than now. Give it your all, network, talk to other people that maybe are in the industry, but absolutely go for it.
Yes. And what's your gut tell you?
Well, my gut tells me do it, but then the fear and the worry and all of that kind of creeps in too. So I kind of fight both sides, but my gut really does say no better time than now.
And, you know, I think this is really interesting because, you know, we grow up seeking advice from others. How should I do this? What should I do? What do you think about this? And the majority of the time, that's a really good thing to do. But when it comes to making career choices, in particular, when it's something that I believe is, there's just a desire and a passion inside of us based on all the things that we've learned throughout our lives and the experiences that we've had that we're the only ones that can really know. It's just a very personal, innate kind of a thing. It's kind of like, I liken it to falling in love or dating, and how you're the only person that really knows if that person is the right one for you. Nobody else can tell you. They can have their own opinions based on their outside perceptions. But it's this career thing is that if we would just trust our gut and follow that and not let the buts get in the way, but I might not make enough money, but I might not have enough clients, but I might not have all the skills that I need to do that. All that stuff gets in the way. And when we can manage those things if we genuinely have the passion and the desire to follow what it is that deep inside we know it's what we want to do. But we get the feedback that makes us question it.
Yeah, and I often feel like it's feedback coming from a good place, but yes, it's maybe not what you need to hear. And I think it's often tied to how are you going to make money?
Yes, exactly. Well, yeah. The experience that I've had, and I've been doing career development for 40 years now, is that when you are genuinely passionate and you trust your gut and you're willing to do the work, you are going to be successful in it. And you can set your goals and your aspirations accordingly versus going down a career path where you are dreading work, where you have that Monday night or that Sunday night syndrome, like, oh my gosh, Monday is tomorrow and it's 5 days before I get a break again. That is not the best way to channel your energy and your passion into what it is that you're doing. That's surviving. And it's not very comfortable.
Well, you just described what I've been doing for 15 years.
Well, trust me, Nathan, you're not the only one. It's pretty much everybody out there that's not kind of paying attention to that. So,
yeah.
And because I hear it all the time, I do have a lot of confidence, and that's what's going on out there. But so that being said, what would be a next step that you would like to take to just dip your toe in it?
Yeah, the next step is really starting to put myself out there and start to network and see who is kind enough to let me bend their ear. And specifically, I'm talking maybe, you know, gym owners or people that work in fitness in any capacity. Even more specifically, if I can identify some swing coaches, which there are plenty out there to talk to, and really just get more knowledgeable and really just spin up as many conversations as I possibly can.
I love it. And, you know, I don't think I mentioned this to you, but I had a friend who was in a similar situation that you're in. And she went and she decided she was going to have 50 cups of coffee with people that are in the line of work that she's interested in. So she would just offer to, she would call people up, let them know what her interests were and what she, you know, was aiming to do, and say, you know, if you're willing to give me like half an hour, I would be so happy to buy you a cup of coffee and sit down with you and talk about it and see what advice you have for me. And it's amazing how people want to help each other in that realm.
I love it. I mean, that's just such a good idea. And you know, understanding that you may not get the response rate that maybe you have in mind, but taking advantage of the folks that say yes, absolutely.
Yes. And, you know, because I believe the people that are successful out there in whatever it is that they do, they know what that feels like. They know how amazingly good it feels and how you get to help people. And they're not going to be coming from a competitive place. They're going to be coming from like, yes, I want more people to be able to help other people get where I get people to. So if this guy's calling me up and he's asking me, his heart's in the right place.
Yeah, and what I've found so far, and full transparency, I haven't dove into this a tremendous amount, but what I've found so far is people are leaning in with relatability. Like, I've been there, so of course I want to at least have a conversation with this person and talk them through it, because I was there, and why not pay it forward?
Absolutely true. I love that. I love that. Well, I'm excited that you're thinking about being a part of that shift. And it's time for us to take another break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lissa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My passion is guiding others to find and live theirs, regardless of their age, or the circumstances in their lives. My guest today is Nathan Campbell, and he is in Minnesota, and he is in between careers and pondering going into personal training, performance coaching, golf. It's just, I feel like you're just kind of playing right now, and it feels fun to me.
I completely agree. Yeah, I am dreaming, as we talked about, and dreaming in a way to make it a reality.
And so when you have these dreams, tell me, like, what are some of the things that pop in your head that you're going to get to do?
I mean, I would break that down into pretty simple terms. And what I mean by that is what I truly want to experience is an excitement to go to work and not having anything to do with what the return is. In terms of monetary return. So, you know, that is the biggest thing, is that I want to wake up every day and just be excited to go to work.
It's so possible. And I really feel like you are on the right path. And so we went to break after you had mentioned that you're willing to take baby steps, and you're going to connect with somebody who is a gym owner. Mm-hmm. And so what are some of your burning questions that you are dying to get answers to?
Well, I'll use this case specifically because the person that I'm going to be meeting with was in my exact shoes, working a job for a number of years that just didn't quite feel right, and wanted to step out and start something of her own. And so I just want to really understand, you know, how did you go about doing that? What did it take to start your own business? How did you start? You know, kind of really peel the layers back to the beginning.
Yep. That's awesome. That's a great place to start, by the way.
Go ahead.
Well, I think that when we're embarking upon something that's totally different than what we've been doing, there's so many questions on, like, well, how would I do this and how do I do that? And it gets really scary because you don't feel like you have the skill set necessarily yet. But when there's passion behind it, it's amazing the courses that you will sign up for online. It's amazing the people that you will discover in your path that are willing to do the work that you don't want to do. And somehow you find a way to pay them so that you can be free to do what it is that you're good at. I mean, the puzzle pieces just kind of all land in place when you have that passion behind it, versus the struggle of, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do this at work. I'm going to have to ask somebody, and then they're going to know I'm not that good at it. It's a totally different mindset and a whole different energy, which is super exciting.
Yeah. And really, I have to challenge myself to be a little uncomfortable, because I would consider myself, you know, an expert in what I've been doing. And now I'm going to leave being an expert into, I'm completely new to everything I'm trying to do here.
But tell me where I'm wrong, but is there not something a little bit refreshing about being a beginner again?
I mean, it's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very exciting. Now, that's combined with some angst, of course, but it is, yeah, it's exciting to think about doing something that I'm really gonna love.
Yeah. And you know, this is one of the tricks that I tell my clients a lot, is like, take that fear or angst and say, you know what? I see you. I recognize you. I know you're here to help me and to try to give me some awareness, but you need to get in the back seat of the car right now, because I'm driving this bus. And, you know, because there's always going to be things that are challenging. I don't care what job that you're doing. There's going to be things that are going to create that feeling of angst, and better angst for having to learn how to do something new than angst for having to go to work every day that you don't want it, doing work you don't want to do.
Of course. And on that note, you know, there'll be bumps along the way, and it's going to be all about, being resilient and persistent as well.
Absolutely. But you'd be amazed at how that excitement will lead the way.
Yeah.
And the fun people that you get to meet that will help you too. I mean, I know that Kenny's World has opened up so much in that industry because there are so many like-minded people and, you know, they're doing their work in the world to enhance people's lives in many different ways. And, you know, and when you feel like you're a fit to that, it's pretty darn exciting.
Yeah. And now that I think of it, you had mentioned before, you know, what do I want to take with me? And I don't know why I didn't think of this to begin with, but you know, what we're talking about right now is me networking. I mean, that is what I was doing for a job. And that's part of what I liked is I was just networking nonstop, and I get to carry that with me to meet new people, to learn new things. So that is something that I'm excited to carry with me.
Yeah, and you don't have to study that. You don't have to read about it. You already know that you're good at it.
Definitely.
And that will get you through those times of, I'm not really sure how this is gonna play out, but you've already got so much of that under your belt.
Yep.
Super exciting. So, and you already have that appointment scheduled.
I do, yeah.
Great, fun. Well, I'll be curious to hear who else you get to talk to along the way. And that leads me to my next question is, like, let's take a look at Nathan in, I don't know, 6 years. And you're doing the work that you love to do, enhancing people's lives in fitness or doing performance golf, being coached in that industry. And you're loving what you're doing. You're feeling very satisfied, and you see the success of your clients. So if that guy is talking to Nathan today, what advice does he have?
Wow, put me on the spot. Let's see. I mean,
yourself in those golf shoes.
I think the advice would be take some risks. You know, take some chances. Don't just go back to doing what you know and what is comfortable. Go with your gut. As you have taught me, Lisa, you've got a feeling. If it feels right, go with it. So I think that advice is sometimes hard to take, but that is the biggest advice I would give myself is first, you know, move forward with gratitude that you have this opportunity to think about things and maybe pivot in my career and take advantage of the time I have and explore.
I love it. I totally love it. And, you know, and like I always say, you always have the safety net. You can always turn around, go backwards if you feel so compelled, but it's rare that happens. If ever. So anyways, I'm so excited for you, Nathan, and it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show and sharing where you are, because there are, I can't possibly even imagine how many people are in the same situation as you, but it's a lot. So your voice is helpful to them, and I appreciate that. So thank you for your willingness to participate.
I really appreciate being on. This was fun.
Good. Thank you so much. That's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening in. Be sure to join me next month. And in the meantime, remember, now is your life. Get out there and really live it.